For the second time in a week, Pope Benedict has appealed to world leaders to address urgent global environmental issues, making it no surprise that he has been dubbed the Green Pope by many observers. The Pope says care for creation is a sign of respect for God the Creator and insists it is an essential part of our faith. He is also frequently warned that the poor and vulnerable, who are least responsible for contributing to our planet's climate change, will likely suffer its worst consequences. Pope Benedict's latest pronouncements on the environment preceded a conference on climate change that is taking place in Geneva throughout this week, in the run-up to a key UN conference on this issue scheduled for December in Copenhagen. Mary Colwell is an award-winning Catholic environmentalist TV and radio producer in England and a consultant on religion and the environment for Bishop Declan Lang of Clifton, who is in charge of environmental justice for the Bishops' Conference in England and Wales. Colwell says that Pope Benedict's embrace of environmentalism is an inspiration for all Catholics.
I think Pope Benedict has done some amazing things. I mean, really fantastic things. I think he's done it almost to sort of just got on with it. He's not made a big song and dance about it. He's not made great sort of showy statements. What he's done, he's just done it. He's put the solar panels in the Vatican. He's bought the forest as a carbon offset. But he's also made some very meaningful statements, building on the very, if you like, intellectual approach of John Paul II. Benedict seems to have got the idea that it really is important. It's not just words, it's action that count. So I think he's made great start with that, and I hope that continues. And it's been very inspirational, I think, for everybody else around the world. So I agree. I think Pope Benedict has done some great things.
You have written that the environment is a spiritual and moral issue and not just a consideration for greenies, as you put it. Can you explain more and elaborate further on that for our listeners?
I think that our treatment of the natural world is very definitely a spiritual issue. It is fundamentally and quintessentially a spiritual issue. I think it's not difficult to understand that we have all around us as an expression, if you like, of God and of God's will, of God's character, of God's imagination, of God's diversity. And I think of people of faith, it's just all around you. It's staring in the face. And in fact, it's so much there. That's why it's so easy to forget. We forget that these other forms of life are all there because they have been in some way created. And I don't mean created as in creationism. I mean their manner of existing has been through God. And I think that fundamentally then is a spiritual relationship we have with things around us. I think that the natural world has inspired people of great faith throughout time, and all the great monastic traditions, be that Christian or Taoist, or whatever, all their founders of the monastic traditions had their experience by going out into the wilderness and having a direct experience of the natural world, being in touch, if you like, with something which is much greater and bigger and beyond the pure individual. It's that sense of being part of something which is absolutely immense, utterly mysterious, and yet we are intricately part of it. And it's those big, grand spiritual feelings which really inspire people to take on this green issue. And of course, it's a secular and an important secular political social issue as well. But the religious dimension gives a whole sense of awe and wonder and mystery and majesty to it too.
Now, talking of that religious dimension, I know that you work as an environment advisor to your local Catholic bishop, Declan Lang of Clifton. What kind of advice have you given, or what kind of projects have you been involved in this capacity?
I think one of the biggest things that Bishop Declan and I have talked about is that apart from this regenerating and renewing this idea of our relationship with the natural world as being a spiritual issue, and we've talked about that a lot and how that can be expressed, but we've also talked a lot about how the environment simply isn't just climate change. I think something that I feel quite strongly about is that the environmental agenda has been overtaken. Hijacking is far too strong a word and has the wrong connotation, but has been, if you like, taken over by the climate change agenda. It's become a massive, massive political issue, and rightly so, but it isn't the only kid on the block. Climate change is one of many serious environmental concerns which we really have to start thinking about. The loss of species, the degradation of the oceans, the amount of pollution in water and air, the habitat destruction, the overfishing, so on and so forth. All these are massive issues which we have to give as much priority as we do to climate change. So my work with Declan Lang is to stress the wholeness of our approach to creation, so that it's not just a climate change issue, that climate change is part of that, and but that every aspect of our life involves some aspect of our relationship with the natural world, and we have to have that whole mindful approach.
Do you in fact think that the fact that Pope Benedict, as I said earlier, has come out on a number of occasions and talking about the environment and, you know, making these concrete gestures inside the Vatican, like the solar panels, is having a trickle-down effect also on, you know, the grassroots level of Catholics?
I think there is a trickle-down effect. I think it could trickle a lot faster than it is doing. I still think that there's a lot of problem with people perceiving being concerned about the environment as somehow being tinged with some kind of paganism, or politically, oh, it's too far into the political arena and we shouldn't stray that far. This is a problem just to be solved by politicians. I still think there's that about it. And I still get people asking me, what's this got to do with faith? This isn't a faith issue. This is a political social issue. I think all those things are still there. There's still a lot of skepticism out there. I think wishful thinking, I think, about climate change isn't happening. But slowly, slowly, people are beginning to turn round on every level, not just the people of faith, but at every level beginning to turn round.
What have we done to the world? Look what we've done.
Okay, going global here, when we talk about environmental threats to our planet, one of the first images or thoughts that comes to many people's minds is the ongoing destruction of large swathes of the Amazon rainforest in Brazil. I know you visited the Amazon region earlier this year. What impressions did you gain there about the level of deforestation there, the whole environment question?
I think the Amazon basin is the burning issue, and if you excuse the pun on that, it is, for the Catholic world, it is such an important issue. If you think about it, the Amazon basin sits entirely within Catholic countries. So the Catholic Church, in my view, has a particular duty of care towards the Amazon. It sits in countries where Catholicism has a real influence on the people on the ground, at local government, at national government, in institutions, in schools, in universities. It's really omnipresent throughout South American countries, all the countries within which the Amazon basin sits. So for me, the Amazon could be a real focus of Catholic attention and awareness and action. And as a global faith, the global Catholic community has the opportunity to do so much to support any Catholic initiatives on the ground in the Amazon basin. Very much talking about this with the Jesuits at the moment. And the idea that if say, for example, a Jesuit community set up some kind of environmental awareness in, say, Brazil, that people around the world could support that. They could not only donate money, but also campaign. They could do awareness raising. They could advocate on behalf of that community as well. And in a sense, the Amazon then becomes something which the Catholic world can focus on, hold up as an example of where action can really, really make a big difference.
Now, you say could there. Do you feel, and do other people feel there, that the Catholic Church could be doing more? I mean, there are some very striking examples by individuals like Dorothy Stang, an environmental activist who, in fact, paid for her life due to her outspoken campaign, shall we say, against the destruction of the rainforest. And there's also been bishops that have, I know, have received death threats in the Amazon Basin region. But do you feel that these are just sort of only too few an example and it needs to be more across the board?
I absolutely think that. I think these are heroic individuals and real shining examples of fighting against all odds. But I don't get the impression there's a concerted, authoritative backup behind what's happening. I don't get the impression that people around the world in parishes in the UK are aware of what's happening in the Amazon. And I don't get the impression that the Catholic Church as a whole in South America is working together in unison to help the Amazon. And of course, these individuals, communities and so on are doing amazing things. And we owe it to them, and we owe it to the memory of people like Dorothy Stang to help them, if you like, coordinate and coalesce a lot more and know that they're not there on their own, that there's a whole global church behind them.
And turning to Copenhagen, how optimistic are you that the world there will take coordinated global action to reduce the effects of climate change and reduce greenhouse gas emissions? Do you think there is enough political will to take the necessary steps to grasp the nettle?
No. I think politics is going to have to be a different beast if it's going to take on board exactly what we're going to have to do to turn this around. And at the moment, a politics which is totally devoted to constant economic growth for growth's sake cannot, in my opinion, take the steps that's necessary to become leaders in the climate change agenda. I don't see how the two can sit side by side. Anything that threatens the economic stability and growth of a country is going to have to come second place to that growth. I think if it challenges the growth of a country, how can a country support it with the present system? It seems a very negative approach, doesn't it? But I think if it's left to politics alone, we will never, ever find a solution to this. Governments are there to protect the economy of their countries. And if that economy is threatened because people buy less, live more simply, don't travel so much, the economic downturn of those countries will be very difficult for that government to sell. And I just simply can't see how that's going to happen at Copenhagen. Everyone will be grabbing as much as they can for each other. And my feeling is that Copenhagen will get a lot of discussion going, it'll get a lot of awareness raising going, it'll allow people to campaign very strongly. Whether the big right decisions will be made, probably not, but I'm very glad it's happening because at least it's happening, if you see what I mean. I don't think Copenhagen will happen and everyone say, well, phew, thank goodness for that, it's all sorted. I just don't see that happening. But I do think it will raise awareness and I do think it'll get people discussing the issues. And if we can combine the awareness raising with a spiritual approach to the natural world, then I think that perhaps we're onto something.
I was speaking to Mary Colwell, a leading Catholic environmentalist in Britain.